How important is the makeup of the Supreme Court, especially future additions of the Supreme Court, in terms of this coming election? We're going to talk about that right now with Dr. Alan Unruh, who is a commentator. He's also a author. In fact, his newest book is called Politically Incorrect, Book of Humor, Why It's Better to Be Right Than Politically Correct. His website is alanunruh.com. Unruh is spelled U-N-R-U-H. And actually, I should spell Alan, since that can be spelled different ways, A-L-L-E-N. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Alan Unruh, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's good to be here.
All right. Now, in this particular election, which, and there's never been one like it, to my knowledge, in my lifetime at least, it's so easy to be distracted by minor issues. But in contrast, how important is the Supreme Court? What's at stake in this election, especially when it comes to the Supreme Court?
Well, I read a book called Scalia Dissents. Justice Scalia was the most conservative member of the U.S. Supreme Court, appointed by Ronald Reagan. And he was the tie-breaking vote over 346 times during his tenure.
Wow.
And we'd be a completely different country had it not been for Justice Scalia, who believed in original intent. He said the Constitution says what it says, and it doesn't say what it doesn't say. And he refuted the living document criteria that the modern-day courts have today. And the activist courts, when you stop and think, the president now has appointed almost 80% of federal judges, and the Supreme Court has reversed themselves over 230 times in history. So what's hanging in the balance here with important issues like Roe v. Wade, like transgender rights, like privacy rights, like religious liberty, all these major, major issues which determine the future of civilization hang in the balance.
Mm. Okay, what's wrong with the concept of the Constitution as a quote-unquote living, breathing document?
Well, our forefathers knew and understood a form of government that every human being is created in the image of God. They fled here to this country to flee religious persecution. And they didn't want a tyranny. They didn't want an anarchy. They didn't want a dictatorship. They didn't want a monarchy. And they 98% believed in the God of the Bible. And the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it's based on principles that transcend time. That's why the immutable right, the inalienable right, which inalienable means God-given right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, doesn't say the government will hand it to you on a silver platter, but without the right to life, there's no liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. All our rights come from God. And this whole concept that we're going to give transgender rights, we're going to give all these different rights and new rights to different sections of people is all created by man. So Martin Luther King said, any law that does not comport with the moral laws of God is never a just law. And so that's what's basically the future of civilization. If you stop and think, since Roe v. Wade, for instance, 58 million unborn children have been killed inside the womb, and right now it's legal through all 9 months. If Justice Scalia is replaced with a radical leftist who changes and supports Roe v. Wade, which Hillary Clinton said she would appoint, 100 million babies could be hanging in the balance, because it's going to be a generation with two or three or four more judges. Mm. Not only that, Obamacare, with the country $20 trillion in debt, they can't afford. There's only one way our country can afford it, and that's to threaten the lives of the aged, the handicapped, the disabled, the people with chronic pain and expensive ailments. It's all for the greater good, and health care will be determined by nameless, faceless, heartless, unaccountable bureaucrats based on what they feel is best for the greater good.
And you are a physician as a chiropractor, so you know about the health care issue. I was going to ask you about Hillary versus Trump, but you've already started with Hillary. But what about Trump? What guarantees are there that Trump would, let's say, appoint Scalia-type justices to the Supreme Court, or try to?
Well, we had a private meeting with 1,000 Christian leaders in New York, and that was the first question they asked. What will you do to protect religious liberty? He said, well, the first thing I would do is eliminate the Johnson Amendment, which President Johnson, one of his greatest threats was Christian conservative pastors who preached what it would mean if we elect godly leaders. And so he put an amendment to threaten 501c3 status of churches if they say anything political. And then the strategy of the left is to politicize everything. So it basically put a muzzle on preachers, which violates their free speech rights. And he said, I would get rid of the Johnson Amendment first. And he said, I would appoint judges with the same philosophy, judicial restraint, as Justice Scalia. And he named 11 judges that have to be vetted by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation. No president candidate has ever named a list of the type of judges that he would choose that would be pro-life, and that would be one of the litmus tests, whether they honor what the Constitution protection of human life, where Hillary would be the opposite. So Hillary said last week, there's not one thing that I can think of that we agree on. And so this is a huge, huge factor for Christians when you think about the fact that 40 million Christians didn't vote last time. Only half the Christians out of 80 million registered to vote, and only half of them voted. So we're going to be accountable for our sins of omission. With 195 nations and 7 billion people on earth, we're one of the few people that can choose our leaders. Righteousness exalts a nation, and this is an election for the future of civilization itself.
You say that mainly because of the court.
With the philosophy of judicial supremacy. For instance, the Supreme Court said that it's a state's rights issue, marriage between a man and a woman. Well, when they said that, 32 states put referendums on the ballot, and 32 states, including liberal California, voted to define marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah. In fact, I think there was only one state where it was on the ballot, and the people in that state actually voted in favor of same-sex marriage. So here in the vast majority of the states, even as you point out, the liberal one, California, or one of the liberal ones, California, here they voted against same-sex marriage. But go on.
That's right. That's right. In fact, the president, when he ran for office, he said, I believe marriage between a man and a woman. In fact, I'll go even further. He said, I believe marriage is a sacred institution. Hillary said the same thing years ago. Well, he got elected, and right after the election, he said his position was evolving. Well, so if the rest of the country doesn't evolve with him, now we're all bigots and homophobes, and so we're classified another class of people. We're all deplorable now, mm-hmm. if we don't agree with their new philosophy that they actually stated to get elected. So this is the constitutional crisis that we're in today. You know, the Constitution starts out with three words: we the people. We the people. The Constitution belongs to we the people, and we have to be informed. We have to be involved. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we expect to be ignorant and free, we expect what never was or ever will be, said Thomas Jefferson. That's why this election with the wrong courts, and you think about the federal courts right now and what they're doing state after state after state with Justice Roy Moore, for instance, a few days ago, violated the rule of law with impunity.
Yeah, for those who didn't hear, Roy Moore lost his job, at least for now. He has been removed as Chief Justice of Alabama, of their Supreme Court, and it's because of his opposition to same-sex marriage. So we're at a state where not only, you know, do you have to, you lose your religious freedom, your ability to believe these things, number one. But number two, if you don't go along with the program and embrace something like same-sex marriage, then you could lose your job as a state official or as a public official.
That's right. Well, you know, only 13% of the people voted for mayor of Houston. 87% did not vote. And they elected a lesbian mayor who demanded the sermons of all the evangelical pastors to try to silence them for what they could and couldn't say, threatening their religious liberty. And we don't think this type of thing is happening now. When a coach prays after a football game voluntarily,
Coach Kennedy,
and he gets fired from the job because of praying. So
by the way, praying to the wrong God. See, he had an associate judge who made a Buddhist prayer, and that guy didn't get into any trouble. But the Christian prayer is where Coach Kennedy got in trouble for saying
prayer. A war against prayers. But if you don't stand up for the national anthem, that's free speech. But looking at the Ten Commandments isn't.
Yeah.
See, and you know, even Justice Scalia said, religious freedom is the foundation of America. There's nowhere in the Constitution that it says we have to separate religion from our government. In fact, George Washington said it's impossible to govern without God and the Bible.
Well,
that was the mindset.
Right, that's the mindset, and you certainly are correct when George Washington said this, and this is in the farewell address. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Do you see religious freedom at risk if Hillary takes over, if she's elected and then imposes, you know, a very liberal court system or, you know, liberals on the courts?
Well, she's promised that, and she's told Planned Parenthood she has their back. In fact, the president here a week ago wanted to bypass Congress to say no state can regulate abortion at all.
What?
And like, we have a law here that they have to inform them they're terminating the life of a separate, unique, living human being, which is affirmed by the Eighth Circuit. That they have a right to their relationship with their unborn child. We have a 72-hour waiting list. They have a high risk of suicide and suicide ideation. All these things, and we also have a law requiring women to go to the pregnancy care center that we have in South Dakota to prevent coercion, because 75% are coerced against a woman's will. And so these are things that are really critical issues. So if every human being is created in the image of God, which is the premise of the foundation of our country, we have a duty and a moral obligation to, number one, we got to pray for our country. Number two, we got to register to vote. Number three, every Christian will vote. We're losing our country by default, by not taking action. This is not about personalities. This is about the future of civilization itself.
Okay, what would you say, Dr. Unruh, to those who would say, okay, granted, got it, could never vote for Hillary, but I am disinclined to vote for Trump because I don't trust him, and I think he's just putting on an act, and I'm never Hillary, but I'm also never Trump. What would you say to those people, the never Trump people?
I know. I heard a guy the other day, a good Christian guy. He said, well, at least I'm not going to be judged for this if I don't vote for Trump because I just don't like the guy. I said, well, but to the contrary, you will be judged. I mean, Ezekiel 33:6 says, if the watchman sees the enemy come and blows not the trumpet or blows an uncertain sound, his blood will I hold at the watchman's hand. In other words, if you don't become involved, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, they groan. We're going to be judged just as much by the sins of omission as anything we might think we're doing wrong. And so silence is not golden, it's yellow. We have to be vocal. The Bible talks about how we need to occupy till he comes. We have a responsibility and a duty to elect godly leaders. And if, you know, and I always also say, God used an atheist, Thomas Paine, to write Common Sense, which was read by 50% of the entire population of America, and it mobilized our forefathers to fight the Revolutionary War. God's ways aren't our ways. He uses the peculiar to confound the wise.
Hmm.
And sometimes, I mean, God used David, a murderer, an adulterer. The Lord had picked one that rejected him. Where's this sanctimonious world where everything is perfect? We're all human. So a person like Trump, in the culture that we live in, has already said he would appoint only judges in the same philosophy, judicial restraint, as Scalia. We know Hillary won't. So if Trump doesn't do it in 4 years, we could get someone else. If he doesn't get elected, however, the country will be gone because we won't have another Revolutionary War. Freedom, once it's lost, is lost forever.
AlanUnruh.com for more information. And again, Alan's book, we haven't been talking about it, but it is The Politically Incorrect Book of Humor, Why It's Better to Be Right Than Politically Correct. Alan, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay,
you very much.
Bye-bye.